Hello, this is Yaro, and welcome to Vested Capital, episode number 36, featuring my guest, Krish Ramaneni, the co-founder and CEO of Fireflies, which is an AI-powered meeting assistant. So today, my guest, Krish, has an interesting story to share about the creation of Fireflies.ai. If you've not heard of Fireflies before, that's not surprising. It is a new startup, or relatively new. However, it is showing up like crazy on Zoom meetings and other types of live meetings that you might be doing on whatever it is, Microsoft, GoToMeeting, etc. But I've seen Fireflies show up on some of my Zoom calls. And what it is, it's a bot that's actually recording and transcribing the live call. And what Fireflies then does is takes that content and makes it more usable and automatically places it into tools. It could be a note taker, a document, or even into like a CRM, like a Salesforce. Its ultimate goal is to make use of all that content that's being created and not really used very much, all those live meetings. Yes, we have recordings and we have transcriptions, but it would be amazing to have powerful tools to, for example, search that content. Just the way we search Google for information, imagine being able to search all of the public meetings or all of your own meetings internally, perhaps in your own company. That's what Fireflies helps you to do and is building towards as well. In this interview, we hear about Fireflies' origin story. There's actually two companies that were the precursor to Fireflies. One is a drone delivery company, and another one is an AI-powered chatbot, both created by Krish, his co-founder. And surprisingly enough, both those companies connect to Fireflies. I'm not going to spoil how. You can listen to the interview to hear those connections. Drone delivery, chatbot leads to AI-powered meeting assistant. We also hear how it was created. So Fireflies is a technical challenge. You have to get onto live meetings, record them, transcribe them, and move that content into other tools. So there was a previous version to do that, an MVP version, and there's the current way they do that. You'll hear about both those stories inside this interview. And we talk about all the usual things like how Fireflies has grown, what's the marketing strategy, and what Krish is currently working on himself inside the company, including a little bit about that raise of $19 million. They've raised twice so far, a Series A and a seed round, a total of $19 million. So it is early days of a growing company. If you're a tech founder or maybe working towards that, I think for me, the most compelling part of this story was hearing how previous companies can lead to a current iteration, and you don't necessarily see what you're going to eventually end up focusing on. So it is surprising. Don't give up. You can end up having an idea or progressing towards an idea in ways you didn't expect and eventually have a great growing company, just as Krish does with Fireflies. Okay, that's enough from me. Here is the interview with Krish Ramaneni, the co-founder and CEO of Fireflies. All right, Krish, thank you for joining me. Appreciate the time.
Absolutely.
So a lot I want to hear about with your background story. Obviously, you're here because you're a co-founder of Fireflies, which is an AI transcription and more than that service. I'd like to hear a little bit more about the grand vision for Fireflies. Maybe give us an intro first on what it is, what it does, and then we can dive back into your background.
Yeah, Fireflies is an AI meeting assistant that joins your meetings. It takes notes, it summarizes, transcribes all your meetings, and it's also a collaborative platform for people to organize all of their meetings, voice conversations in one central place. So in a way, we're recreating an organization's knowledge base without you having to actually create a knowledge base to begin with. So we believe that meetings are one of the most valuable things in a workplace, and they're also overdone a lot. And so in order to capture the essence of those conversations and be able to look back at them and search through them, offers a lot of insights, both to existing teammates, about your team, your customers, your employees, as well as new people that join your team. So we really think of ourselves as the AI note taker to begin with, but really a knowledge base or knowledge aggregation platform.
Okay, great. So we'll dive in a little bit more into how you got that started. But I know your $14 million into a Series A was the most recent round of funding. And I believe there's quite a complicated sort of startup story with how you eventually reached the point where you are today. But before we do that, where are you originally from? Where are you born and raised, Krish?
Yeah, so I was born in India and I moved here when I was 5. I spent most of my time in California growing up, went to school in the Bay Area. So everything I would hear about, like all I knew were people that were in tech. Like that was just something I thought was normal. And then when I went off to school, at UPenn, I would see people in finance and consulting and other service industries. And that was really new to me. But I think after college, I had a few options, but I decided to come back to the West Coast. I spent time in Seattle, where I was a product manager at Microsoft, working across the collaboration suite there. So Skype, Office, around those platforms. And then, yeah, long story short, decided to turn down graduate school at Cambridge, went to MIT to work one summer with a friend. And then that turned into what is Fireflies today. So we decided, let's go full time on this. And then we moved back to San Francisco, set that up as our HQ. First couple of years were very different. We were always focused on this concept of NLP, natural language processing, and understanding conversations. So our first couple of products had nothing to do with voice. They were focused on email, on chat. Chatbots were really big back then. We did some consulting projects. We were basically doing anything we could to bootstrap and just pay the bills, pay the electricity, pay the servers, like trying to get to that ramen profitability mode. And in 2019, we ended up raising our seed round through Canaan, which was around $5 million. Got some awesome investors on board, angel investors, people from companies like Salesforce, the chief product officer at Slack, early employees at Dropbox, so other great collaboration platforms, other PLG platforms. And then the pandemic happened in 2020, and we had just released almost a month before the pandemic really took off. And we were actually fortunate to be beneficiaries during that time in the sense that everyone went remote, everyone was using video conferencing, and having a platform like Fireflies became more center stage at that point. And so that's how we got our footing. And then in 2021, we announced our Series A, which was an additional $14 million raised from Coastal Ventures.
All right. Well, let's stop the interview. There's the summary. You're all good. All done. But you've opened up a few doors there I am curious about. Take us back a little bit before Fireflies, though. It sounds like, obviously, growing up in the Valley, like you said, it's like the default would be to see yourself starting a company, which is uncommon. Like most people in the rest of the world, in the States, besides maybe a few other cities, do not default to thinking, I'm going to start a company. It's, I'm going to hopefully go to university and then whatever, lawyer, doctor, accountant, traditional kind of career architecture. In your case, did you did see yourself starting a company literally from the moment you had that question of what you're going to do when you grow up?
Actually, that's very interesting. Coming from the family that I am, where there's a lot of doctors, the initial pressure, I would say, or the inclination was to go into medicine. So actually, my first year of college was to go into a medical program or a pre-med program. So it was completely the opposite of technology. I mean, I took like AP computer science courses in my local high school, aware of tech. And so it was, I think, around my first year, first quarter or first semester where I said, you know, I don't think I want to go down this medicine route. And for me, I think it's a very noble profession. It's very difficult. And do I want to commit 15 years of my life to doing this? Because whatever you do, you want to be excellent at it and you want to commit yourself to excellence. Whereas, can I work on things that would have a broader scope of impact on a lot of people? And so that was something that pushed me towards technology, because as you saw these platforms coming out, impacting millions and millions of people, and just a few lines of code that can be distributed in many, many places. So I did have inclinations towards building a business, but I always was in awe of technology. Even in medicine, I wanted to go into a field where how can we use technology, robotics, things like that to help with surgery. So I was always oriented towards that. I do remember when I was in, I think, third grade or fourth grade, we had to write where we had to write about people that are changing the world. And I actually wrote and did this whole presentation on Bill Gates back then, and then how the personal computer changed people's lives and how their mission of putting a computer on every person's desk really came true. And that was right around the time, right? You have the dot-com boom. And then after that, early 2000s, things are starting to like go crazy in the tech industry. It's funny because I wrote a letter as part of the project to Bill Gates saying like how I was like so in awe of like what Microsoft was doing and how I would like to one day work at Microsoft. So 10 years later, I did end up working at Microsoft, which was really cool. Mm-hmm. On a lot of the collaboration stuff, Word, PowerPoint, all of these sort of tools that were there. And then just 2 months ago, had a chance to present to Bill Gates, and I was able to share the story, and it was like, wow, it's full circle. Mm-hmm. So I think life doesn't go as planned, but there were a lot of those like early signs, I guess, where you kind of get pulled back to your calling. And so maybe that is a calling.
And is Fireflies the first startup you went after, or was there some business stories before that?
Yeah. So Fireflies in itself is like 3-4 iterations, pivots, stories in order to get to where we are today. But as a full-fledged business, this is my first one. So I'm a first-time founder. But in college, in school, I always tried to be entrepreneurial. So we did a startup while in college. We actually did a lot of hackathons. I always loved working with people on building things. So hackathons were a great way to kind of simulate that environment of working together, collaborating in like a pressure cooker situation. So we worked on projects like drones, on like food delivery apps, on a crypto wallet. So we worked on so many different things, a lot of consumer stuff, actually, before we got into the B2B space.
Oh, I'd love to hear a little bit more about some of that. Is there a maybe which one got the furthest along or which has the best story? Can you want to share with?
Yeah. So actually the current name Fireflies, like everyone comes up with different stories for it. But when me and my co-founder were actually working on different projects in school, one of our first ideas was actually to do drone food delivery around campus. And when you have drones flying across in the night, they look like fireflies. Right. And that's why we use Fireflies. And we said, you know, we were too lazy to come up with new names for each project. So we ended up just sticking with Fireflies for all of our projects. And even when we started the company, we ended up having Fireflies. What's interesting today is Fireflies fits really well because this AI note taker comes into your meetings and it's like a fly on the wall. Mm. So it's a nice play on words. Other people come up with how Fireflies is lighting up all these like conversations inside an organization and helping you discover insights. So I think there's a lot of cool stories that come up with the name Fireflies, but that was really something that our customers or people said afterwards. But our original like name that came up had nothing to do with this.
Right.
And actually the way I met my co-founder was also very interesting. So it was my co-founder and another friend that we were working on a couple different projects. I believe it was Coinbase. They came to MIT and they gave everyone a couple $100 of Bitcoin around that time, 2014, 2015, around that time. And that was really interesting. They said, hey, we have a hackathon, do something with like this Bitcoin where you can exchange it, create an economy around Bitcoin. So we actually created like a food delivery services app where the payment form or currency was Bitcoin. And that was something we did. And literally it was just my teammate running around campus and delivering food to people, and we were getting paid in Bitcoin. I just wish we held on to that Bitcoin because it ended up becoming a lot more, almost like 600x more. So it's just very, very interesting that we had a lot of journeys along the way before where we landed.
There's a bit of a theme here, though. Food delivery seems to have been your drone company, a Bitcoin business. Was there something around being the next DoorDash that you wanted to do? Or
yeah, that's actually very interesting. I don't know why it was. I think sharing economy stuff was really big. We were always believers in using crowdsourcing power of the network. And it wasn't like the conventional food delivery. So the idea at the time was actually we're all working, we're studying on campus, but there's people always moving around. And could you get alerted if one of your friends was at Chipotle and ask them to also get you a burrito back? Or like it was just almost like if someone's already doing something, could you put in a favor versus like trying to have actual deliverers? Like it was a way to like get notified. So usually a common thing was I'd be like working or I'd be doing a problem set. And then I know that my roommate was going to be off at different times around campus, around different places. So if he's on the way, could he do me a little favor? And then in exchange, you would get a little reward as a result of that. So that was the idea. It was more around how can we leverage the community to do something where you're not really going out of the way, but you're helping each other? That theme actually even resonates today in Fireflies, where like if you have the transcript and you're able to go ahead and edit it and make corrections to the different words and stuff, over time, it's going to help improve the transcription service for yourself and also people within your company. So we still believe in that notion of being able to have a crowdsourcing or collaborative effect and letting users bring back value into their service that they're using.
So I can see from the origin of wanting to be a doctor, you became far more technical, at least from a an IT perspective. I mean, a drone delivery company is a technical challenge, a physical technical challenge, as well as a software one. You're capable of building something in the Bitcoin ecosystem, not that I'm assuming you can program, you're an engineer, or at least maybe your co-founder is, but when it comes to Fireflies, and I have to say this now, Fireflies, the current iteration, not the previous ones, did you start that out and literally code version 1.0 yourself, or what's the origin of the actual product?
Yeah, the Fireflies that we have today, and so it's funny, is I need to step back, is my co-founder is actually an aeronautical engineer. So that's why the drone satellites were always very fascinating for him. But the first version of Fireflies was just myself and my co-founder, Sam, where it was two of us. And the idea was, hey, we're trying all of these different things. It's not really sticking. Why don't we build something that actually is something that I would use on an everyday basis, right? Like, what do I have? And at that time, we were having lots of meetings with investors in order to raise money. We were having a lot of meetings with customers and we're frantically taking notes.
Is this for the drone company or like?
This is the current version of Fireflies.
Oh yeah, but when you're raising money, all those meetings before Fireflies existed, was that to raise for?
That was for the NLP tools, for the chatbot, for the email assistant that we were doing. So we actually built a really cool Chrome extension where if I'm going on different messaging platforms and I'm messaging people, if I make some sort of commitment or task or promise, so if I were to like send you an email saying, hey, I'll review this by next Friday, or I send you a LinkedIn message saying, please send over the deck and I'll take a look. We had this NLP Chrome extension, really, really cool, that would automatically detect anytime I made a commitment or promise or task and create a to-do list. So it would do an automatic to-do list based on my conversation.
Interesting.
It's like you're talking to so-and-so, you made a promise to do this, or so-and-so said they would do this for you. And it would just create a, and I'd go back at the end of the day and I'd click on the Chrome extension and it would show me all my tasks that I had promised people or other people promised me. And that's what we actually do as humans every day, right? Like we like look back and like, okay, what do I have to do today? And then you write it down.
Oh, okay.
I said, how could we automate that process?
Okay, I want to hear the origin story of Firefly still, the current version of it, but I just want to connect the dots then. So there's drone, there's NLP to-do list generating tool, there was Bitcoin. Obviously, these are some technical challenges. There's some AI, natural language programming. And you said none of this was gaining traction, right? So all these ideas, was it a case of trying one for 6 months and then, I mean, I can't even imagine pivoting from a drone delivery company to an NLP, you know, plugin for your browser. Like, how do these changes happen and how long and how close were you to getting funding for any of them? Did any of them take off in any kind of degree? Did you get customers? Where were you at with all these projects?
Yeah. So the whole drone delivery thing was really for a hackathon while we were in school. So we were just doing tons and tons of different projects. There was never an intention to turn that into a company. The food delivery thing, we thought we could turn into a company as well, like the whole crowdsource network stuff. That was also while in college. Then I went off to Microsoft. I got a much better perspective on, I don't want to do anything that is hardware or like real world, like where it would be much easier to just write software and deploy it. Like that was kind of the thing. Like, because there's just a lot of capital expenditure and OpEx of deploying hardware or deploying these sort of services. I mean, if you take off, you become a massive company like DoorDash or some sort of robotics company. But that was something where I realized like life is a lot better when you're like pure software. Mm-hmm. So I said, I'm going to go down SaaS. And that's when I discovered SaaS. I was at Microsoft. So we started looking at our strengths and realizing what is it that we really want to focus on. And for me, the theme of productivity, the theme of efficiency, automation were always fascinating. I was always fascinated by how we can use tools, technology, you know, whether it's computer vision on drones or whether it's natural language. The core goal was automation at the end of the day, like, or how can I give myself an assistant that would help me do things that I would have to manually do myself? So really the foundation of when I left Microsoft, when I turned down Cambridge, and when we decided to work on Fireflies was this like AI automatic to-do list generator, right? So that's where we were doing. Through that, we built this really interesting technology that can parse different types of emails or like on LinkedIn or Messenger, any sort of like messaging service, and like understand and break down what is being said and then label it and categorize it as a task or not a task or as a promise and then associate it with some person. So that really was the crux of the technology. And even today, that was actually inspirational for the NLP that we build inside Fireflies for the conversation. Like, we're not using any of the code from there, but it was still like a very good learning or practice for us, because I think we were starting to scratch the surface with a to-do list. We actually had some solid traction, probably around like 5,000 or 6,000 users at that point in time. But it really ended up looking more like a tool, right? Versus like, how do you build like a platform or a collaboration service on top? Mm-hmm. And then we went down the voice route and saying like, hey, there's no one even doing voice the way we're envisioning, how voice can be captured, stored, searchable, organized. at least with emails, you can send an email and then you can go back 2 years later and look at the email you sent. But if I have a conversation with you, I'm going to leave that conference room or I'm going to leave that meeting, and in like 2 days, I'm going to forget what I said. That's the problem we should solve. Like, we should first start by creating a way to organize all of those conversations, and then we can apply search. We can do ML on top of it, NLP on top of it. So that was the longer term vision.
Okay. All right. I can see the threads now, how this all connects together to the current version of Fireflies. It's interesting. Clearly, you're very technically skilled if you can not just build something from a software side, but actually from AI and natural language processing. So take us forward to the point then where you're actually launching. You were saying before you were doing all these calls, you were looking to, I guess, solve an obvious problem with a new idea. And that was sort of the spark for the current, I keep saying the current versions for Fireflies as it is today. I've got a few other questions, but I'll let you finish that story first. How did you start Fireflies?
Yeah, the very, very first iteration of Fireflies was actually really interesting, where it would use a tool like Twilio, like a calling system, and it would be a phone number that would call into your meeting. And then it would stream the audio and then transcribe it in real time at that time and send it to me as notes in Slack, because that's where I worked. Literally everything we did, we sent our notes afterwards in Slack, because that's where my co-founder and like literally worked all the time, and we were remote. So we just automated that process. And from there, we said, hey, let's actually build a dashboard. Let's actually like store the entire transcript. Let's make sure we can make that transcription searchable. And then you make other improvements over time. Like, how do you deal with the audio? Like the cost, right? Like cost of streaming audio through like a phone number is insanely expensive. How do you improve on the quality of the things? Like, we use a lot of off the shelf sort of stuff to get off the ground, and then you have to make it your own and improve it over time. So it was just like 2018, end of 2018, going into 2019, we have a semblance of what it is that we want to work on, like an actual serious thing. We have like real customers. And at that point in time, we were giving it away for free. Like, we were essentially just trying to see, can this work? Once you know it can work, you have to think about, how do you improve it? What are the unit economics look like for this? How costly is this sort of service? So you start working around the infrastructure and you slowly start building. That's when we had enough conviction about the technology, about the market, about where this could go, that we went out and raised like a proper seed round at the time. And so Kanan came in towards the end of 2019. Then we just went heads down. We had a few other engineers that came on board around the end of 2019. And then January 2020, we did the official launch of Fireflies as it is. So I always kind of think of 2020 is the start of our journey.
Were there customers though, like during this whole 2019?
There were beta customers, okay. Like a couple hundred customers.
Okay, yeah. So there was enough to get feedback and see it was working. It sounds like I'm not a programmer by any means, so I understand Twilio and I can see how, so Twilio using the telephony network and an API can plug into a Zoom call, and then you could take the content from the Zoom call, stream it over like a Twilio connection, and then if you have some kind of transcribing engine, you can transcribe that stream. It sounds very hacked together when I say it that way, yeah. Though.
Yeah, the first iteration, until we raised our funding, was like about hacking things together, throwing things on the wall, see what sticks. Actually, in 2020, before we went live, we were completely trying to re-architect and build it again from scratch, right? So after we got the funding, we realized this could work. We realized, hey, in order to scale, we have to like actually architect it, have the microservices done properly. What happens when 100 people are using Firefly simultaneously, but we haven't thought about what happens a million users use Firefly simultaneously? So really, I think capital was important at that point in time to build, because this is really a technological challenge, right? You can definitely hack things together with tools and services. So it's easy to spin up a initial semblance of this technology. But to truly scale, I think it's underestimated how difficult that process is and why it takes such a long time. Now I respect companies, especially companies that support tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of customers in real time, like what that means, because it is really, really, really difficult. I mean, there's a reason why it takes Twitter a long time to make certain types of changes, because some small thing is going to impact millions of end users. Like for us in B2B, it's a little bit easier, but we are also building a collaboration platform. So that means multiple people are using it across different organizations. Yeah.
So from a technical standpoint, what does it look like today? Like, it's not the same. Like, what did you actually have to build to make this work?
Yeah. So today, Fireflies joins as a participant on the meetings. We don't use Twilio or any service. It joins directly into the meeting. as a participant. We support multiple video conferencing platforms, Zoom, Google Meet, WebEx, Skype, GoToMeeting. So we had to do all of that. We have almost 40 plus other integrations as well. So how that looks like today is Fireflies joins these meetings. It's capturing everything. It's transcribing everything. It's saving that into my notebook in my dashboard, and then I can organize it in different channels. Afterwards, it's able to take out these like summaries and use OpenAI or GPT-3 to help create human-like summaries now. That's something we've rolled out recently. Rather than just bullet point excerpts from a transcript, it can actually paraphrase it. And then it can go into my Salesforce and fill out the notes under the contact I just had a call with. Or I can go into a Slack channel and send the notes to a particular Slack channel. It can go into my Google Docs and create a new document. So it's not just about capturing and transcribing and doing all this AI, but it's also about the last mile, which is putting it in the places where I already work, right? Okay. So that's really exciting. Support Google Calendar and Outlook Calendar. So all different types of meetings on those platforms.
Were you building this? Like, is your code you personally in there, Chris?
Yeah, there's definitely stuff in there that like my co-founder and I had worked on in the early days. And Sam was definitely writing the bulk of it. And I was just amazed at even today, right? When you look through the code base and we have a new employee, there are still parts of it that till last year, Sam would have to come in and educate and like teach someone about the code base. Yeah. And he himself probably has come miles as a because Sam has never worked at a formal company. Like I at least had the opportunity to work at Microsoft and kind of see how the structure comes. I think he's an amazing guy that was able to just pick things up on the fly and write code and learn how do you build a company without ever having worked at a company about the DevOps process or how you do commits and how do you review PRs. So all of that had to be like self-taught. That was something that was really, really magical.
Yeah, I mean, just listening to what you describe as the feature set of Fireflies, it sounds like a technical challenge. Like it sounds like the whole idea of video broadcasting, it's not new, but it certainly became so much more mainstream during the pandemic. And then you created a platform that plugs into it and plugs into all these other third-party tools and takes content, makes it more manageable, usable. Let's switch gears though. Can we talk about the marketing and actual user growth side of this? You said you had a few hundred users for that sort of hack together beta. Then you get funding so you could build basically your own version of that. When does delivering that product to the people and getting your first actual customers of your version start to happen? Yeah.
So towards January, February, March 2020, we start to getting customers where I don't have to have conversations with them. They're signing up on their own. They're logging into the platform.
How do they find
you? They're sharing it with other people. Yeah.
How are they finding you?
That's the magic part. We haven't spent any money, like any like significant money on marketing or ads or any of this stuff. Everything has come from word of mouth or seeing the note taker on the meeting. So they'll be like, oh, what's this Fireflies thing? They'd have a conversation around it. And then afterwards, they'd get the meeting recap. It's just like how you would use a tool like Calendly, or you experience the product before you even sign up for it. So people would see it, have conversations. And that's really been our growth story. The virality is, it's amazing to go to a place or an event. And I was at the US Open like a few weeks ago. I was sitting there and like the person next to me randomly happened to be someone that worked in tech. They were a founder. And they were like, oh, I've heard of this sort of technology. I probably seen Fireflies on one of my meetings, right? So it's just that serendipity. This is just, it's just amazing like to go anywhere and like be able to, oh, I know what you guys are or what you guys do, or I'm familiar with it.
Was that deliberate though? Like now that you say it, it's genius that you have Fireflies join as an attendant on a Zoom call or a Microsoft Teams call, because you can't help but go, who's this third party person thing called Fireflies? Yeah. And then you go, oh, it's transcribing and recording this. So it's just natural built-in, you know, virality. Was that a genius marketing plan from the beginning, or that's just a happy byproduct of the way you built the platform?
Yeah, it was definitely a necessity to join a meeting. Like that was like the best way for us to capture conversations across different platforms, because every platform has a different requirement. So if we can just have the bot join the meetings, it was probably the most helpful. And it's definitely the most difficult thing to build, because it's much easier to use an API or just go pull in the audio from an existing tool that already records it. But when you're doing the recording yourself, the streaming yourself, the joining the meeting yourself, that is definitely adds several layers of complexity with the bot. But I think we stuck with it because the value in terms of one, from a compliance point of view, people can know that their call is being captured. Like there's no like secretive recording at that time. Like, so it's very explicit. So you're going to have a conversation about it. We take that compliance and security piece really importantly. So we have features where Fireflies can send out a notification before a meeting saying, hey, I'm going to be recording this call and transcribing it for note-taking purposes. If you don't like us to do that, then we can jump off the call. So there was like a lot of things we did from the name of compliance that in essence also helped with the virality of learning about the platform, educating people about the platform that were joining the meeting. And then I really think, you know, and thank the end users who like it. Like there was one person that quoted that I probably sold more of Fireflies than my own software because I always talk about Fireflies on every one of my sales calls. So we're very fortunate to have customers like that are really evangelists. I think part of the virality was once we started seeing it, like we started to dive deeper into it. But I would say 50% of it is out of necessity. And the other 50% was around how do we create a system like it can sell itself, market itself. That was really the starting point. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm assuming most of the growth has been that sort of built in, use the product, spread the word. You're talking to me on a podcast, though, so you clearly have a podcast press kind of PR angle to your company as well. I realize sometimes people do that because they also want to enhance the founder's personal brand for possibly future fundraising as well. But is there any other marketing like this that you guys are focused on, or is it just a case of more users means more users?
Yeah, so I would say like most of our user-driven growth has come from word of mouth or customers or some sort of viral loop within the product, most of it. We've had other things where when we are able to do these things and get the word out about what we do, like I think that's amazing. Like it's an amazing opportunity to tell our story because we've actually been very low-key in terms of we like to build in silence and then try to over-deliver, right? Rather than overhype and then underdeliver. So there's definitely companies that are amazing at using PR. That's something we probably have maybe two or three PR articles like where we intentionally like went out and said, hey, we're doing a fundraising. Like you want to cover us. We had like opportunities where people genuinely saw Fireflies. They thought it was cool and said, hey, I want to write a story about you. And so really the product also led us to some of these conversations or opportunities, whether it was podcasts or whether I think it's like Entrepreneur Magazine. They had us featured on the cover page, but it wasn't something we went and asked someone to do for us. I think that's something me and my co-founder are very shy about in the sense that we don't like to go and ask for favors. Like if someone comes inbound, we're going to do everything we can to like show them love and make them at home and make Fireflies a great experience. But it was really difficult even in the early days to go to people and say, hey, can you use my product? Because I feel like I'm intruding on their space. Like I don't want to ask for favors or requests. I don't feel very comfortable about that. There's other people that are very comfortable doing that and asking for a lot of things from different people. So even today with Fireflies, like we haven't really done outbound, even though it's like our sales process, it's really been people knowing, discovering, coming in. You come in, show some sort of interest, and then we're going to show you a lot of love and we're going to make sure that you have an amazing time. Because I think, yeah, we didn't have a lot of success with outbound in the early days. So we like fully dedicated ourselves to inbound. And then even for marketing, we do some content marketing. But really, again, that content is to help users understand and learn more about the product. So it's more product marketing than typical content marketing. And now we're just starting to have conversations like these to share the story, build the brand, and set that broader vision of what is it we're trying to do. So when I go on LinkedIn and see people like talk about, hey, these are my top five tools I use every day, and Fireflies is one of them. And I'm like, oh, wow. Like there's no marketing that beats someone else saying, I love Fireflies and I use it. So we take every feedback, both positive and negative, very seriously and use every ticket as an opportunity to improve. Mm.
Yeah, it must be very satisfying. Let's talk about monetization. So I know for you to raise the round you did, you obviously had to show not just user growth, but maybe some revenue growth. I don't know. I know you have a pricing tier, so clearly you're charging for what you have now. But what has been the monetization story for you guys? Was it all free to begin with and then later on you charged, or how did it devolve?
Yeah. So starting in 2020, once we went live, we had our price tiers. It wasn't really towards the end of 2020 that we enforced it. So it was actually in the early days where people could choose to pay for it if they wanted, but if they exceeded their like limits on the free tier, we didn't enforce it. And later, once we felt comfortable with the product and we were confident, we started enforcing and started thinking more about monetization. So really, monetization has been, it's good that we focused on building a great product, building a good experience, having the capital to continue iterating. And how do you turn Fireflies from this nice to have to a must have solution that I use every day? And then from there, We have like users that will use our free tier, they'll exhaust their credits, and then they'll upgrade, or they'll come in directly and say, I've already saw this on a meeting. I know how it works. I love the recap and the transcript and the summary. I'm going to just go ahead and purchase it. So our vision at Fireflies is we want to help people buy the way that they want to buy. So if they want to just use it themselves and buy it, we're going to do that. We have a free tier for them to try out different things. We're also going to be introducing a free trial, which we haven't had in the past, where you can get like unlimited access to all of the features of the business tier for 7 days, right? So that's another thing we realize is sometimes even the people that want to buy and the reason they're coming and contacting our support person or contacting our salesperson is because, oh, they just want a trial of all of the advanced features, right? And today there's no way to do that. So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a free trial that they can opt into where they can try everything. And so the whole goal is if you want to use free, go ahead and use it. And then at some point in time, if you find value, you're going to naturally convert, right? There's going to be some sort of paywall. You're going to convert. If you are ready to buy, you can go ahead and buy right now. If you need full access for a limited time, you're going to get a free trial. If you need to talk to someone, we're going to have like someone available to help you maybe learn more about the product or explain it to your manager, like why you need to deploy it. So that's also another thing that we think about as like, okay, it's not really a salesperson per se, but it's someone there. It's like an advocate. They're ready to help you. I'm not a huge fan of using like, when I think about sales, I think about those people that are sending you 500 cold emails. It works, right? Or like outreach, but I want to be there, someone that adds value, consultative, right? That's a sort of sales organization that we want to build.
Yeah. So did it work? Like, did this pricing structure, because I mean, having the option of a paid premium tier from the beginning, I can understand with your service in particular, because for those who don't know, I think the main reason to start paying is they would have ran out of transcription minutes. Like once you've had a certain amount of audio transcribed, you've used all up your free tier. So if you're doing a lot of calls, a lot of recordings that need transcribing, you need to start paying. Because like this is a question when you start a startup and you give away a free service, you're then wondering, well, how many people will need to upgrade? What's a conversion rate? What's the retention rate? So can like going back to those early days, was it all just great signs from the beginning? You were making enough revenue to know that this is working and maybe we don't even need to raise money. We can bootstrap all our way, or obviously you had to raise initially to build the technical part of this. But once it's kind of built, could you bootstrap from there? Like how was the money earning story?
Yeah. So, I mean, you have to look at your users. Like we have this concept of storage. We have this concept of transcription credits. And also, the reason it's this space is very difficult is because transcription is expensive. Storage was expensive. Audio streaming is expensive. The cost to support a user, there is going to be a variable cost, right? Like in terms of how much someone's going to use it. Is there someone that's going to abuse the platform? And will your pricing break after a certain point in time?
So correct me if I'm wrong too. Sorry, Chris, to interrupt, but the free tier would cost you guys money, right? Like, you're going negative on those transcriptions, that streaming and so on. Yeah,
exactly. So you have to think about, is the cost of letting someone use it more important than spending $200 on an ad to acquire a user?
Right.
Right. So that's, I'm always a believer in let's add value, because at least that way, that person's going to be able to use it, know if it's a good fit for them. And then also while they use it, they're going to expose Fireflies to other people and get them educated and excited about it. So the way we think about marketing, the way we think about even monetization, all comes back to, are we providing value to the user? And then is the user in a way helping us spread the reach, right? So it is like, this wasn't all figured out on day one, right? It just so happened that a lot of our values were centered around that. Does that mean we're not going to ever do ads? No. Like we might like consider, hey, there's a great time to do ads. There might be a great time to do a billboard. There might be some time to do branding awareness campaigns. For where we're at in the market, I would say cross the chasm from early adopters to regular users to now becoming more and more mainstream. So maybe marketing channels and things like that will need to change. Like every channel gets saturated at some point in time. But even if you look at some great companies like Calendly, for the longest time, they weren't doing any advertising. Like they were essentially growing through the product-led loops, right? So we thought, what are the things we can control, right? Like reducing the cost of the service. Anytime we made incremental gains in like the system and lowered the cost, our whole goal was obviously to improve our margins, but also to give more back to the user so that they can use more of the free tier or more of these sort of services. So yeah, you have to look at it. You have to see like at what point they're converting. You look at awesome products like Notion as well. They give you like 1,000 blocks. But if you're really a power user of Notion, you'll use all that like blocks up in the first month and within the first 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So it really is like just measuring, looking at cohorts of users, how excited are they? And of those excited active users, how many of them are actually converting, and then building the product for that. So I would also add like something really important here. When we built Fireflies, we started out, it was a great single player product, meaning like an individual can use it. And all of a sudden we have teams that want to use Fireflies like in a collaborative way, right? So you have 20 people in the company, they all want their Fireflies note taker bot that joins their meetings. They all want their meetings in one central place. The admin wants to organize and structure all the team's different meetings. And so now we're like this collaborative platform, right? Like where multiple people are working inside it. We're like a Slack or a Dropbox like for teams, right? In a way. And now we have to start building features and thinking about pricing so that we can scale up in that manner. Like I know companies that are doing similar things in like the enterprise side for sales, because there's sales tools that will use what Fireflies is building and then just do it just for salespeople. And they're like, our average price point is like $10 to $20 per seat, right? Depending on what tier you're on. Whereas like exact same sort of technology, same type of product, but sales, selling to mid-market enterprise, they'll charge $150 per seat per month. So almost 10x, 15x the cost. Is the product actually giving you 10x, 15x? That's another question, which we don't think so. But they're only going to be selling to a dozen people within that sales org. Our vision is that we want to democratize AI. We want to make Firefly so easy that every person inside an organization can use it, where for every new user that ends up signing up for Fireflies, you don't even have to worry about the cost, right? You're going to think a lot more when you have to pay $150 for an extra seat versus, okay, it's another $10. But with Fireflies, I can cover like all my entire organization. So our vision, our goal is how do we get end-to-end adoption inside an organization now, right? Versus just the single player product that we have today. So with that, pricing and all of that is built around that.
Okay. The space you're in, Zoom obviously being the biggest player in the video conferencing and very mainstream now, but competitive. There's obviously Microsoft, a big player as well. And then so many smaller players. I'm talking to you on one in some ways now, even with Riverside, even though it's designed for podcasting, it is still a streaming meeting tool. Do you feel that, or have you ever, I'm sure you've thought about it, the amalgamation, the combining of a tool like yours where Zoom starts to have it as a default? Because I know, for example, I think Zoom has recently been creating a Slack competitor or a version of Slack. And it's been like an obvious, well, of course, people already collaborate using Slack for chat, Zoom for video. Why isn't that all in one? And now they're kind of doing that. Your service, very similar. It's like, well, you kind of think by default, should Zoom or Microsoft Teams or whatever also provide transcripts? Do you see that as something that will happen that is a competitive risk or a likely acquisition target for your company? Like, have you thought about this? I'm sure you have. You know, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. So I actually recently heard on the news that Zoom was launching their own email and calendaring service in order to take on the Microsofts and Googles of the world. Because Microsoft has Outlook and they have word processing and they have all of these other things, right? Yeah. So I think Zoom is also working on email and calendaring to think about that. So that'll be interesting to see what comes out of that. We think more from the lens of Zoom is focused on video and they're trying to do the best job they can. They have like bigger fish to fry in terms of competing with Google Meet and WebEx. What we're doing, we are partnering with Zoom. We're partnering with WebEx. We're partnering with all of these providers to capture the audio. That's just a means to an end. And then now we're building our own SaaS platform and we have to go really deep, right? Building a knowledge base is very, very difficult to building the search, building all these components where you might have like live transcription or like captions, but that's not the same as building an end-to-end knowledge base and like the features that you can build on top of it. We do a lot more than just that, right? We do analytics, we do insights, intelligence, integrations to different applications. So I think if you go really deep, you start to also understand the needs of your customers. For example, why is it that there's so many customers that will use Slack and Slack has video telephony in the app, but they'll still pay for Zoom or they'll still pay for Google Meet because Slack's really good at doing that one thing that they're built to do, and that's their primary focus. The calling is really like, okay, it's something that some percentage of our users will use lightly, so we should have it. You have huddles, all great tools within Slack, but I know many, many companies that will pay for G Suite where they get Google Meet for free once you pay for G Suite, but then they'll still buy Zoom. Mm. So I really think in the collaboration space, it's more important to work with everyone and be a platform that can integrate with everyone. And then what you're solving, if you actually go deep enough beyond the surface. So this is one of the things about like educating the market about, hey, we're not just a note taker. People are coming for the note taker, but they're staying for so much more. if you go deeper on that, like you end up building a platform that uniquely solves a problem, right? Like recruiters will use Fireflies a very different way. Salespeople will use Fireflies a very different way. So we try to focus more on the customers and their use cases. And there will be one or two features or three features that you go really deeply on, and then you can build an entire platform around it. So In fact, we have other like folks that come to us and say like, hey, I actually want to build something for your Fireflies customers, right? And then do you have a marketplace where I can put this up and then sell? So yeah, I think there's like just like layers on layers of layers. Yeah. Even when you think about this whole ecosystem, right? You had the operating system like Windows back then. Then you had the browser wars, right? Chrome, Edge, Firefox. And then within the browsers, you have now all these like different SaaS products, right? That are vying for your attention. And then within these SaaS products itself, you're building other ecosystems, right? So Zoom has its own app store. Slack has its own bot store. So I think like there's just a lot of space to go deeper on it. Like if you're just going to be a generic tool, yes, there's always a risk of being overtaken. Like if the only thing you do is transcription, the only thing you do is like provide captions, or you're like an API tool, right? Like if you think about like an ASR provider where you're trying to do some basic things like that, yes, then it can be a race to the bottom. But if you are building a SaaS platform that is uniquely trying to solve the needs of a customer, I think you can go deep. Like you look at Adobe, right? And their Photoshop, their sort of tools. And then you look at Figma and then Canva, all these other tools that are out there. Figma is doing something very deeply in the collaborative space. Canva is doing something very deeply in helping creators build tools and services and marketing content and all of that. So it's really about the customer base more so than the similarities between the technology.
So if Microsoft or Zoom came knocking for an acquisition, you're obviously going to at least listen to them. But is that sort of an exit you would be happy with? Or would you prefer, as you're describing, to sort of see Fireflies be an independent platform that is more of a platform, less of a tool? And like you said, it's going to be an entry point for AI and getting real use out of it.
Yeah. I mean, those would be all great conversations to consider when we get to that point. I think there's just a lot that we want to do here at Fireflies and get to that next stage and really build towards that longer term vision. I'm a big believer that the first couple of years are about survival, then it's about growth, and then you earn the right to build out your vision. So I'm hoping in the next year or two that we really cement our spot to earn that right to build out the vision I've been talking to you about. And along the way, we're always happy to partner with folks like Zoom and Microsoft and all of these guys. Whether that leads to acquisition talks is another thing. And I haven't thought, like, if once you start thinking down that road, that also impacts what you do. I always believe that you go out, build the best thing that you can, service customers, make them happy, and then all the other things will start lining up, like if there is. But at the end of the day, we have to prioritize the customers, the people that are paying us, the people that depend on us day in and day out. And when you reach that certain stage, right, at scale, I feel like it's now a responsibility more than, hey, I'm just building this tool, let's see what happens. Like, holy crap, there's people using it. We need to be uptime. Like, so every day is like a firefight, like a drill. Like, we have to focus on execution in that manner. So, yeah.
All right. Well, last few minutes here, Krish. I'm curious, what is a day in the life for you like now? What do you do each day for Fireflies?
Yeah. So there isn't no typical day. I believe there are a lot of meetings. There's a lot of conversations with different teammates, one-on-ones. We try to avoid as many meetings as possible. Surprisingly, we build meeting software, but we hate meetings. So we try to like automate as much as possible. We try to be async as much as possible. If I can't attend a meeting, I'll review it on Fireflies afterward. That's a very common thing. Like, we heavily use Fireflies internally inside our own org. Hiring takes a good amount of time. Like, really, are we hiring someone for the sake of hiring for that role? Or are we really hiring someone that is going to excel and thrive? So that's a lot of lessons learned, a lot of mistakes made, and you keep improving on that. So hiring is a big part. Design, I still am very heavily involved in. Product, still do. We have a few product managers on the team, designers on the team. So I still like to focus on that. Sometimes like architectural decisions, like are we making certain types of decisions? Why are we making those sort of decisions? What are the implications of that in terms of cost, implications in terms of our pricing? So every day is different. Like, there's new challenges. Customers, right? Like helping our support team. I still review support tickets. I still review sales calls. So I'm like all over the place trying to do as much as possible. But my number one job now is to elevate the existing teammates. And since I have all of this other context, I have to set the context for all these different teammates. So it's more of like an editor, like a coach. In a way, I have to do more of those sort of things. because sometimes I would just love to just roll up my sleeves and get in and do it. But I have to save that for the weekends because I'm just constantly trying to like set one fire after another off or go and like hire new people and then help them. And I think success is more like, I know that I can do it, but it's more important that I teach someone else to do it. So otherwise you're not going to be able to create more time and scale.
Okay, fair enough. So Krish, besides the obvious Fireflies, anything else you want to share, send people to?
Yeah. I mean, like in terms of for us, we're starting to build out a lot of really cool tools and stuff in the next couple months that are going to be rolled out. So you can check us out at fireflies.ai. I'm actually now starting to get more active on social as well, on LinkedIn, starting to write as well. So you can follow me on LinkedIn. That's a place where you can find me, Krish Ramanini. And we're going to be coming out with some interesting things in the next couple months on the marketing side as well. So just whether it's content, whether it's podcasts. So we have something plan that we're thinking about and would love to share it with the community.
Awesome. Well, thank you for taking the time to share the somewhat complicated origin story, but I now now I understand the threads that connect everything to the point where today Fireflies is what it is. Yeah, and I'm interested to see where you go. Obviously, AI being a very dynamic field, and you have a very practical application of it right now, which is not common to say. Like, there's a lot of cool tools, but you don't actually say, I actually use them in a very deliberate and functional, productive way. So yeah, looking forward to see what you guys do. And yeah, I'll follow you on LinkedIn. And thanks for sharing the story.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to like sit down and go through all the details and share the story. So I'm excited. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Today's episode is brought to you by InboxDone.com, a virtual executive assistant company who will provide you with two assistants. That's right. Every client gets two virtual assistants who will then step in and learn everything they need to know about you and the role you perform so they can take over email off your plate completely. So that's right. They're going to study how you write. What are the order of priority of messages? So what emails do you really care about and need to know as soon as they hit your inbox versus maybe the important but not urgent emails that you'd like to know about end of day or end of week? And then take the majority, very likely the majority of emails that are just not important but need to be handled, and they'll do all of that without you. So they're going to study your writing style, your tone, who you interact with. They're going to build templates, set up folders and filters, create standard operating procedures, integrate with the rest of your team. And then they're going to step in and just start learning how to reply to your emails. It's going to take about a month. But once that's done, you are no longer in charge of your email. They're going to do the replies for you. Yes, there will still be a few emails that they're going to have to come to you and ask how to deal with because it's unique knowledge required to answer. But whatever it is, 80%, 90%, 95%, that's a lot of email taken off your plate and a lot of time back for you. They're also going to go a step further. They're going to manage your calendar. They're going to do lead nurturing. They can do your social media inboxes, your social media replies as well, basic research, travel bookings, whatever it is you expect an EA, an executive assistant to do, they can do that as well. But they're specially trained on email management and calendar scheduling. So if those are your two biggest needs, head to InboxDone.com and learn more about the service and book a discovery call to get started. I hope you enjoyed today's interview with Krish Ramaneni, the co-founder and CEO of Fireflies.ai. His origin story was interesting. The connection between his previous companies and Fireflies was surprising, but encouraging for anyone who's currently working on a tech startup and, you know, maybe it's not quite taking off, or maybe you're not loving the idea anymore. You might see, hey, we've done something here and we could take what we've done and turn it to a completely different market, a different need, and, you know, evolve our product idea and potentially find that company that finally takes off just as Krish did with Fireflies. I also really love to hear any kind of product use viral loop where a product being used by people leads to other people discovering it, and then they use it and spread it further. That's rare, but when it works well, it's free organic growth. And you can obviously hear with Krish's story, that was pretty much it. Like, he was talking about marketing. Yeah, people use it, they discover it, then that leads to other people using it, which then leads to more people discovering it. For me, that always leads to a thought in my mind, what can I do with what I'm building right now to make some part of the use of this tool or software or whatever it is, it's a service, it's an education product, it's an e-commerce product, How can the act of buying it and using it lead to more people discovering it? And of course, hopefully buying and using as well. In the case of Fireflies, it's simple. A bot shows up on a Zoom call. People ask what it is. Then they go and download it and use it on their Zoom calls, which leads to more people discovering it. And that loop continues. I'm not sure if that's going to be the only way they need to grow, but as a startup, that's what you're looking for. That is kind of like the holy grail, viral product marketing, where the use leads to more users. All right, hope you enjoyed the interview. If you want more, you can go to the Vested Capital back catalog. In fact, just in the last, I don't know, 10 or so episodes, there have been some billionaire stories, there's been some big numbers and all kinds of different business models. So if you like stories like with Krish today, you'll definitely want to dive into the back catalog. And also subscribe. You can find Vested Capital on all your favorite, whatever it is, iTunes or Amazon or Spotify. It's there. Subscribe, download all the episodes if you want. Go through my entire back catalog. You'll definitely love it. And of course, you can share it with your friends as well. I would really appreciate that. And leave a review on iTunes. Okay, I'm going to stop now. My name is Yaro, and I'll talk to you on a future episode. Bye-bye.